Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jim Lake, head of training here at Viking, and I'd like to welcome you back to another season of Tech Talks. And just like the first season of Tech Talks, Sean Kramer and I are going to start off with a revisit to our dry pipe systems and talking a little bit about dry pipe systems. A couple of years ago, we had some questions and answers for you. And this one, in this case, we're going to look at functionality of each of the systems, because they operate, each of the valves operates a little bit differently, including our new model VXR. And we'll talk about the trim components and their operations as well. And we will hit some of the topics too, as far as the questions and things, but we're gonna take a real close look at components and operation and what's been driving the train here where codes and standards are concerned. So I'll have Sean join me out here. Come on, Sean. Sean Kramer, our director of technical services here now, also a committee member, right? On one of the technical committees?
Yep, on discharge.
On discharge committee now, great.
Good afternoon.
So what we're going to do to start off with, we're going to get right into a discussion about the differential dry pipe systems and differential valves in particular, because a lot of this, Sean, was driven by NFPA 13. In recent additions, they've started to make a difference, they define a difference between what is a differential valve, a differential dry valve, and sure, something that has been what they term as a mechanical dry valve. Now, this wasn't an issue. This wasn't even in the standard back, you know, when I was doing the NFPA 13 work back in 2010, this wasn't a definition. These are fairly recent definitions as far as the valve itself. So let's take a look at this definition that we have. Is a differential dry valve, you can see, is a water control valve. That's an interesting term that they just added in the 2022 edition, that is held closed in position by system gas pressure exposed to the surface area on the air or nitrogen side of the clapper, where such surface area is larger than the surface area on the water supply side, and with an intermediate chamber between the two surfaces that is open to atmosphere. Now, we've had those around for a long time, differential dry valves.
Right.
Just never really had a definition for them.
Yep.
Counter to that is this definition now of a mechanical dry pipe valve. And that's a water control valve that uses a series of mechanical devices, such as levers and springs, diaphragms and latches, to actually hold the valve closed in position with air nitrogen pressure and without using a clapper surface or areas provide the differential between the two. So in one, we're using mechanical levers, springs, diaphragms, something to hold it, not a differential in the pressure. Whereas our valves, all three of our Viking line valves,
sure, yep,
are differential valves.
Yep,
right?
Yep, so, that's correct.
Yep. So what we're going to do here now is we're going to step out of the way, show you a quick video that comes from our virtual Viking platform, and actually does a really good job. It's highlighting our VXR valve, but it does a real good job in defining kind of how a differential valve, the whole system works. So we can start there, and then we can start to compare how each of the systems operate. So we'll get out of the way here. We'll start our video.
In this scenario, we are looking at a warehouse protected with a VXR dry system equipped with an accelerator. The VXR is a differential dry valve that operates on a mechanical advantage with a 6-to-1 pressure differential. The valve features minimal moving parts and can be externally reset. An accelerator is a device that speeds up the process of tripping a dry system. A slight but sudden drop in air pressure from an activated sprinkler will cause the accelerator to activate, redirecting air to the intermediate chamber of the VXR valve. This adds pressure to the valve's intermediate chamber, causing the air differential between the outlet and the intermediate chamber of the VXR valve to equalize. This will allow the inlet water pressure to overcome the air pressure in the outlet as air pressure continues to drop due to the activated sprinkler. In a scenario where a fire has started in the warehouse and begins to grow, sprinklers will operate. Air escapes through the operated sprinklers, causing the air pressure within the outlet of the valve, the trim, and pipes to drop. With the equipped accelerator, the slight but sudden drop in air pressure from the sprinkler operation causes the accelerator to activate and air is redirected to the intermediate chamber of the VXR valve, adding additional pressure under the clapper. Following a loss of air pressure, the low air supervisory alarm is activated. The lowered air pressure will cause the air maintenance device to open. This may trigger the air compressor to start. The decreasing air pressure over the clapper reduces the mechanical advantage within the VXR valve. Water from the inlet chamber of the valve pushes the clapper open and into the system piping. The water flow alarm is activated. Remaining air pressure in lines without sprinklers that have operated allows the flow of water to bypass those pipe branches and quickly reach the operated sprinklers. The sprinklers continue to control the fire until the fire department arrives.
All right, and we're back. Along now. So we're going to start off then. Let's start off talking about the F-Series, F1. And because basically this has been around for, this is one of our sure. primary movers, our big ones. We've had two lines, the F-Series and the G-Series.
Correct.
But basically, one of the things that's really interesting about looking at this particular valve is kind of its operation. It's really neat to see kind of how the inner workings, the diaphragm that it sits on, that operates with. So we're going to show another quick clip here of this valve working, only this time we're going to kind of try to stop it here in the middle. And let's talk a little bit about these internal components that we're looking at, Sean. I mean, what's the most critical component here, or what kind of makes this thing really operate well?
Well, it's the entire member assembly that we're looking at in between the valve. It's all floating. It's suspended in between the base and the housing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the housing on the top, and then you have your base on the bottom, and all the internal components are floating there on the rubber stretched in between with the clapper assembly right here,
mm-hmm.
Being held closed by the hook assembly.
Okay.
And then once the hook assembly is released, it's going to spring up into the open position.
Right.
And how it does that is there's this little set screw here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the tail piece of the hook assembly. So what happens when you start to lose air pressure, this entire member assembly starts to lift up, and that tail piece on the hook assembly there,
yeah,
it hits the set screw, pulling the hook assembly off of the clapper arm.
Okay.
And then it springs up into the open position.
Okay, because some people might look at this and maybe confuse this particular piece right here, where it's being hooked and held closed, as some sort of a mechanical device, that it's actually being,
sure.
Isn't that a mechanical valve or a mechanical drive valve? Because it's being held closed by a lever of some sort. And that's really not the case, right?
That's correct. It's a 6-to-1 differential, and it's actually the air pressure that's holding it closed. If you look on top, it's mm-hmm. 6 times larger surface area on top
mm-hmm.
than it is on the inlet coming in.
Okay.
And that's how it gets the 6-to-1 differential.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 PSI of air can hold back up to 6 PSI of water.
Okay.
Just like the other valves we'll take a look at later on, they're all 6-to-1 differentials,
mm-hmm.
but they're unique in their own way.
Sure. So, okay, so we're going to move this video along then, I hope. And what we'll do is we'll see that lifting of, and the set screw operate the lever, and the whole thing operate. But pay attention real close. It kind of happens quickly that you'll watch that valve seat start to raise and start to float up. And that's just the differential in pressure that's happening within the casing of the valve, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So let's see if I can make this one. Here we go. Hey, look at me. So right now you're going to start to see it move up as the pressure goes down. You can see that. And the set screw is starting to push that push the valve or the lever out of the way. Now, question for you, is that set screw ever a problem, or do we, is it a maintenance problem? Is it initial installation? Do we ever mess with the set screw?
No, you'd never want to touch the set screw out in the field. It's set at the factory before mm-hmm. it leaves the factory.
Yep.
And then it's Loctited in place mm-hmm. and the valve's tested to the proper differential.
Okay.
So you never want to touch that set screw once the okay. valve is out of
the field. Because that messes with the differential values of the valve. That's your
correct. Okay. Yes.
Great. So that's the F series. That's the F1 valve that we've had around for quite a while.
Yep.
And it is a differential valve, as you said, 6-to-1. And it basically that's its operation. Now, one of the things we want to do now is we're going to head off into the components. We're going to take a look at each of these valves, each of these systems, and then we're going to start to look at each of the components that go in.
Sure.
And what the benefits are, what the advantages are to using certain components. So with that, we're going to go to what we call the valve and system configurator on the Viking website. And with that, we're going to be able to, we're going to go right behind your head here. That's all right. And we're going to actually configure the Model F drive valve system. And you can see that we've got a number of different end preparations. We'll just go to groove right now. And so when we start this conversation here, then what we have here is our F-series valve, our F valve here.
Yep.
And it's kind of bare. It doesn't have anything on it until we start building it out. So this is what we're going to do as we build it out. We'll talk about these components as they come in.
Sure. Well, this is a standard trim that would come on the valve
okay.
when you order it. And then you get your additional accessories that you add to it, which
sure.
you and I are going to go through here as
yeah.
we start to build on it.
Now, one thing I notice here, we stop at 6 inches.
That's
now,
right.
What happens if I want to do, you know, if I've got a dry system, one of the questions that we came in, you know, what happens here? I'm looking at a dry 8-inch dry valve, but we don't offer that?
Well, we do. In our standard line, we have the Model F mm-hmm. dry valve mm-hmm. series. We have the Model G dry valve series and the new VXR series as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They all stop at 6-inch.
Right.
However, we do have a dry system. It's currently called the HP dry system
mm-hmm.
because before we had the Model G series valve, the Model F was rated 175 PSI pressure.
Oh, okay.
So in order to have a 250 PSI option, what we did is we used the F1 deluge valve
mm-hmm.
with an anti-flood device, which is a differential valve, a mm-hmm. differential product, to hold the valve closed until the air is released, just like a normal dry system.
Oh, okay.
And the Model F1 deluge valve comes in 8-inch size.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your option to actually get down to 1.5 inches
mm-hmm.
or go all the way up to 8-inch in size if you needed to using the HP dry system.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. So with this one, we'll just go to a 4. We'll select our trim material then, galvanized, not much choice there. We'll go with a pre-trimmed right out of the factory. We don't need any domestic trim on this one. And next we go to the add-ons. Now the add-ons are a pretty interesting bunch here. We can add in a D2 accelerator, or we can add in an E1 accelerator. So as we go through and add these, you can see that they will show up on our diagram here. Our anti-columbing device that comes around to the other side. We'll talk more about the anti-columbing when we get to the VXR
yep.
discussion and exactly why that's necessary on all these valves. So we're going to do, but we've got one on this. And then it looks like I've got a choice here. I've got an E1 accelerator and a DE2 accelerator. If I go here, it's a totally different trim package. So why, and you know what? I've got them right here too. These bad boys look the same. So I've got right here a D2 accelerator. This is the D2 accelerator right here. And very closely related is the E1. It looks almost the same. Why would I use one or the other, or what would be is there an advantage, or is there just a legacy that comes along with this, or what was
sure.
that?
Like you said, they are very similar. And one of the things to keep in mind with the D2, it has a built-in anti-flood device.
Okay.
So this built-in anti-flood device right here once the accelerator operates, this anti-flood device kicks in, mm-hmm. and it prevents water from getting to the upper chamber and flooding out the accelerator during operation.
Which is bad.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, if you have a flooded accelerator, you would not be able to reestablish air pressure on the okay. air gauge when you try to reset the system.
All right.
Now, so the D2 actually vents through mm-hmm. down to the intermediate chamber of the Model F dry pipe valve.
Okay.
Now, the Model E1's a little bit different. As the Model E1, you see it's got the plug here, so it's not going through it. Mm-hmm. It's actually venting out the bottom.
Okay.
And with the E1, what we have, you can see it right there.
Right there.
The anti-flood device. Mm-hmm. So the right E1 accelerator.
That's it right there, right?
Yep,
right
that's
there.
It. Yep. Yep. So the air comes in, and with the E1, what it's doing is it's actually, with the air pressure above that anti-flood device, mm-hmm. it's holding the anti-flood device closed. So when one vents out the bottom, mm-hmm. it's going to release that air pressure off the top of the anti-flood device, mm-hmm. and it's going to be actually the anti-flood device that routes the air pressure to the intermediate chamber to operate the dry pipe valve.
All right, so we're seeing that in this piping right here. Everybody should always turn their phones off when you're online. Oh my goodness. So you can see the line, I think right in here, right? That's our line.
Yeah, it goes around, back, comes around, behind back, it, down, and behind. It goes up into the intermediate chamber.
All right, so any advantages one to the other of using one, or is there a time when you would use one or not?
Yeah, the Model E1's a little bit more sensitive than the Model D2. Mm-hmm. So if you're using a riser-mounted air compressor, it's better to go with the Model D2 accelerator because it's a little less sensitive. Mm-hmm. That's not saying you can't use the E1. It's just a good practice to go with the D2 with a riser-mounted compressor. Okay. If you have a tank-mounted compressor, then it just comes down to a matter of preference, with the E1 being a little bit more sensitive, so it's going to help the dry pipe valve activate a little bit faster if you're getting really close to a water delivery time you might have to meet.
Oh, yeah.
Where the D2 is going to be a little less sensitive. So it's kind of depends upon what your system needs or what the requirements are for it.
Okay, great. A couple more things that we can take a look at down here. We've got the standard let's say we'll stay with the E1 there. We'll go to an air maintenance device and preferences on an air maintenance device. This is actually an option, an add-on. Why? Where are these coming from and what's their function?
Well, first off, it's an add-on because if you had a riser-mounted compressor, mm-hmm. you actually don't want to use an air maintenance device.
I see.
Because it can cause what's called short cycling mm-hmm. in that compressor.
Okay.
So you have a 1/16 inch restricted orifice in the regulator of the air maintenance device. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you're coming from your riser-mounted compressor to the air maintenance device with a 1/2 inch piece of pipe typically. Mm-hmm. So the compressor will kick on.
Yep.
Your switch on your compressor usually has a 10 or 13 PSI differential depending upon the manufacturer. And so it's going to fill up that small piece of pipe, hit that 1/16 inch restricted orifice, and then it's going to satisfy the switch and kick off. Well, then it's going to slowly bleed through that restriction mm-hmm. and it's going to kick back on and it's going to keep doing that on and off. It's called short cycling.
Okay.
So that's why you don't see an air maintenance device in every situation. Mm-hmm. However, if you have a plant air supply or a tank mounted compressor, you definitely are going to want to use an air maintenance device because that's how you're going to regulate how much air pressure is coming into the system.
Sure. Okay.
So typically what you would get it set at is 40 PSI. And then if you want to adjust it, the little knob on the top of the regulator there, hex screw.
Right up in here.
Yep. You just turn that clockwise to increase your pressure or counterclockwise to decrease the pressure. It's kind of a trial and error thing from that 40 PSI to get it right, but eventually you'll get there.
Okay. And then our final two pieces of equipment here are the PS10 and the PS40. Two different functions on these. One does air and one does water, Sean. Which is which?
Well, the PS10 is going to be your alarm pressure switch. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the water flow switch. And one thing to keep in mind when you're looking at the PS10, there's a -1 and a -2. Mm. And what that represents is the amount of contacts it has.
Okay.
So if you know you only need to wire it into one alarm, like mm-hmm. an electric bell or something like that,
yep.
then you could just go with the dash one. But if you need more than one alarm, you're definitely going to want to go with the dash two.
Okay.
And the PS40, which is the air supervisory switch, mm-hmm. on a dry system, you're always going to want the dash two because mm-hmm. you're required as per NFPA 72 to have a supervisory 10 PSI higher than what the system set pressure is mm-hmm. and 10 PSI lower than what the system's set okay. pressure is. Mm-hmm. So you have a high low air alarm, therefore always requiring the dash two on the PS40.
Great. All right. So we've trimmed it out there. We put everything in. Like I said, we'll come back to the anti-columning device because that's something that obviously is protecting against water column, which is a collection of water above the clapper. One of the interesting things before we kind of go further, maybe we should just talk about it right now. We've got one showing on this particular valve, but this really isn't the valve that it was geared towards, really, was it? I mean, we don't, how problematic in a valve like this, how problematic is columning? Is it really something that we need to be concerned with?
Yeah, actually, the Model F is the one that you would most likely see it on mm-hmm. because what happens a lot of the time is when you take the cover plate off and you reset right. the valve,
right.
it's still draining down. It's going to continue to drain down for an extended period of time, mm-hmm. especially on a larger system. And on top of that, you get condensation coming back when a lot of the piping's pitched back to the riser. Mm-hmm. That's going to accumulate over time as well.
Oh, okay.
So what happens with it being a 6-to-1 differential valve, for each foot of water, you have 0.433 PSI of mm-hmm. pressure acting against it. I'm going to round that up to half PSI for sake of simple math here.
Simple math.
But if let's say you had a 10-foot water column on top of the valve. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're looking at an additional 5 PSI, you would think, right?
Right.
Well, since it's a 6-to-1 differential on the valve, you got to take that 5 PSI and multiply it by 6. So now you just Ooh. Added 30 PSI Ooh. On top of the valve.
Okay.
So depending upon what your water supply is, that could severely delay mm-hmm. the activation of the valve. So if you look at where it's connected on the trim here.
Yep.
It's never going to get higher than that point in the valve for that water column. Mm-hmm. So there's never a concern about it getting so high up that okay. you could severely delay the activation of the valve itself.
Right, because that's actually being connected. You're right at the top of the valve casing here, huh?
Yep.
So you're never going to have more than maybe that much
water. Yeah, then 8 inches or so, okay. you know, above it.
Okay, and I'm going to, excuse me. Oh my God. All right.
Another thing about the anti-column device,
yeah.
Just outside of the water column building up on top of it, is the accelerator can get flooded out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking about this D2 accelerator right here with this built-in anti-flood device. Well, the anti-flood device kicks in once the accelerator operates.
Okay.
But if you got water building up to it inadvertently from that column, it's going right. to start traveling out into the trim.
Okay.
It's going to bypass this anti-flood device and it's going to flood out the accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a flooded accelerator after you trip a system, yeah. it might be because there was a water column on it originally.
To begin with.
So right here mm-hmm. is what's called the prime level test valve. And that's, you crack that open and you want to make sure that you're only getting air coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to get water coming out of it, that means you're building up a column on the valve.
Right.
And the longer the water runs out of it before you start getting air, that's going to kind of give you an idea mm-hmm. of how bad that water column is on top of the valve.
Okay.
So installing the LD1 is going to resolve that issue.
Cool. All righty. So we've covered everything we need on the Model F. We're going to close out of this now and we'll go back to our presentation. Let's talk a little bit about this G valve here. Now it's been around a while. It's not quite as well understood, even though it's a fairly simple valve to operate, like most of our valves, fairly simple. But what it actually has is the brains of this operation are actually outside the casing, whereas all the pressure was inside the valve itself, on the other.
Sure.
This one has this job, right?
Correct. Yep.
So its whole differential valve, I'll let you hold on to that one. The whole differential concept is held within that small valve.
Yep, that's correct.
And that small valve here is, if we take a look at it, there we go. And basically right there along the back, it's gonna come in and we'll put a nice circle around it for you. So this is the differential valve that actually has the, here we go. Supposed to have a little circle around it, but go ahead and talk about it anyway.
All right, well, this is the A1 differential valve. And like you were explaining, Jim, this is what is giving you your differential on the valve.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the Model G series valve, there's a priming chamber, and that priming chamber expands the diaphragm onto the seat.
I think we've got a video. I think I've got a slide on that.
All right.
Excellent. Now you explain it to us, Sean.
Well, the A1 differential valve, now that you can see it up on the screen, if you look at the top here,
mm-hmm.
it's 6 times larger than right here where the prime water is being held in.
Okay.
So that priming chamber is filled up, mm-hmm. and the prime pressure is held in into the bottom of this A1 differential valve. The air is coming into the top of the A1 differential valve. So the same concept like with the Model F,
mm-hmm.
just doing it in a much smaller component here,
okay.
rather than the valve. Once mm-hmm. the sprinkler opens up, air pressure is relieved off the top of this differential valve, and then the prime pressure is discharged off to the drain, and that allows the water that's being held back to push that diaphragm up into the priming chamber and fill the system with water.
Okay. So little brains are on the outside of the whole thing. It still operates it's got a very interesting operation to it, in which case this is the valve right here, right? I mean, this is the valve that's being actually held closed. So right in this spot right here is actually the intermediate chamber, right? Where the water is being held in by the differential valve on the outside, correct?
Yeah, inside right in here would be the priming chamber.
That water pressure is actually holding down this part of the valve, mm-hmm. right over the opening right here.
Yeah, correct. And you can see that they're not much different in size at all. So mm-hmm. it's not getting its differential inside the valve. It's getting it from the
Right. Yep. So all the air pressure the water pressure is being held in here. It's holding the valve clapper down. This would be, for lack of a better, that's the clapper. Right. It's being held down on top of the waterway here.
Yep.
So when air starts to release from the system,
mm-hmm.
it's the differential valve here that begins to operate and drain the water right from this particular unit.
Yep.
The intermediate chamber comes out, and then what happens?
Then the water's gonna push that diaphragm that's right here,
mm-hmm.
up into the priming chamber. It's actually a rolling diaphragm.
Yeah.
So push it up, and then the water's going to fill the valve. It's going to push up on this internal check diaphragm, mm-hmm. right here,
mm-hmm.
and then the water is going
to
fill the system.
See if we can get it to work.
All right.
There we go. There it is.
Yep, disappearing
up and in.
And you see the internal check diaphragm raising up there.
And all the water goes through. It's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
Okay. So when it comes to the valve itself, once again, it looks different. It's an odd shape. It can be pretty intimidating. What is this? But it really is a very simple and operates really under the same principles of the differential valves.
Yeah, definitely. And if we talk about the accelerators here, we looked mm-hmm. at the Model F, and you had your choice between the D2 and the E1.
Mm-hmm.
With the G series, you only need to use the E1, and you don't need all that additional trim with the anti-flood device for it, because there's actually a check valve on the G-series valve that prevents water from getting up into the airline once the valve trips.
Oh, okay.
So there's a cross with a plug on it when you mm-hmm. get it, mm-hmm. and you just remove that plug and you throw a ball valve nipple, and then your E1 accelerator right there, and you're all set to go.
Got it. Great. Okay. Alrighty. So let's go back to the valve configurator then, and we'll work on a Model G. Now, these pre-trimmed only. These all come from the factory pre-trimmed. Once again, 2 through 6, no 8s. So you would go back to the same answer to from the last time. So we'll just pick a 4 here, and this here, no, and domestic trim only. And is there anything different that we really need to talk about on this? Looks like it. Looks like there's one component here. So let's pick our anti-column. Let's pick our E1 accelerator. Let's talk about this drain manifold. What's a drain? That's just there because we offer it. There's anything special about that?
Well, it's just an additional accessory so that you don't have to pipe all of the drain in the field. So it comes with the check valve and it's all ready to connect your drain cup where it should be underneath the drip check.
Technical operation wise, then no impact on the whole system operation.
Correct, right.
Oh, okay. So you might have the air maintenance device and then that's it. It's fairly straightforward. All comes pre-trimmed if you need it, if you'd like it that way. Well, pre-trimmed only on these, but there's the system. And once again, pretty straightforward as far as its operation. So let's move along then to our next valve, which is our brand new valve. And this one came out when? Just last month.
Last month.
Our VXR series, our VXR valves. And these are external reset valves.
Yep.
Joining the family out here with external reset valves, a little bit different in their arrangement. In fact, quite different in their arrangement for some of the obvious reasons that we'll point out. But again, with this one, this is kind of a nice operation to it. It is an external reset valve and the reset button is down here. Plunger is down underneath. Take a look at this video and show you kind of how it's operating. And it really a quick one, as you've got all the water, this is kind of post-operation, all the water's draining back out very nicely. Sure. It's coming all out there. No columning involved at all with this one, in this video. But basically, right here, you push up and down, that's it. That's the whole operation, right. So this is a differential valve, yes?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yep, six to one differential.
Okay,
yep.
And tell me about what's the difference here? What's the kind of, how is that operation? It's a 6-to-1 ratio. Okay. That's normal.
Sure.
What's the real difference of using something like this?
What with the model VXR, it's still a 6-to-1 differential. So mm-hmm. we saw with the Model F that it was that floating member assembly mm-hmm. that everything mm-hmm. was on.
Right.
And you can see inside here that it's a much smaller clapper that's mm-hmm. rectangular. That's going to be held in the closed position okay. and give you that 6-to-1 differential on right. top of it.
Let's see if I can get it to that yep. right now.
Sure. Whereas the G series we saw that uses the priming mm-hmm. chamber. So yep, we were almost on it right
there. I was almost there, almost had it, but I couldn't quite pull it off. All right, so it's just a straight rectangular plate.
Yeah, and it's top. If you ever needed to get inside it and replace it, it's real easy to remove. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the Model F, you got to take some retaining rings off mm-hmm. and slide it out right. and get inside there. This one's really simple. You just pull out the clapper rod and replace it and put okay. it back in. For example, we have a 4-inch shown there. It's very lightweight, 50 mm-hmm. pounds for a 4-inch
uh-huh.
For the valve itself. And the footprint that it takes up, you can see it's so small of a mm-hmm. footprint.
And so any concerns about the internal or the external reset of this? I mean, you're not taking a look inside anymore, but right. is there anything to be mindful of when you're resetting things is sure. doing it in the right sequence, I guess, is where I'm going is there.
Yeah, this. Yeah, exactly. It's a very easy valve to reset. Like you showed, you just mm-hmm. drain it down,
right?
But you got to make sure you drain it down before you hit the push rod down here.
Okay, right,
knob.
Right.
So you push that up and that's what's going to release the clapper to be seated back down.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that before you drain it down. And that's why we actually put it on the bottom there. Mm-hmm. So you have to really focus on
deliberate. Yeah.
Yes. You really have to want to push on yeah. it instead of just accidentally leaning on it or bumping okay. it and causing it to reset prematurely.
Right, because if that thing resets premature with all that water up, where's that water going to go now? Because it's not going to open, the valve's not going to open back up. Where are you going to drain?
That little drip check right there.
So yeah, that's going to take a while.
That's going to take quite some time.
So word to the wise, everyone, don't touch that until your drain is complete. All right. So now we're going to go to our next slide here. We're going to go back to NFPA 13 because NFPA 13, while it defined what a differential drive valve is, mm-hmm. there's only one other spot in the standard that it makes a reference to differential drive valves. And it comes right here in this section in Chapter 8 in the 2022 edition about high water level protection. And basically it's setting it up that if you've got the possibility to reseat the valve here after actuation without actually first draining the system, you know, protection against the occurrence of water above the clapper is permitted. And then it comes down even further. If you've got a differential drive valve, the clapper shall be provided with, you know, protection against accumulation of water absolutely has to be provided there. Now, again, it has a high water level device. It's saying, doesn't really say which one.
Sure.
We're going to show the anti-columbing device because yep. that's the one we use here, which is a very interesting device that actually in this video, we're gonna see here that the system is operated, the system has been reset. And now to your point, there's still drainage. You made this point earlier. There's still drainage coming back down out of the system.
Sure.
And so that drainage here is accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. And you know, like you said, if it gets to be, you know, up 10 feet up in the air, you've got a substantial amount of pressure underneath.
Right.
So we got to get this out of this water column. We got to get it out of the casing. And that's what our anti-columbing device does. So tell us a little bit about how this is working.
Well, you have a stainless steel ball, as you can see right in here, that's seated and is held down by the air pressure mm-hmm. Inside the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the water starts to accumulate on top of the valve here, it's going to float this ball up from the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Once the ball is lifted off the seat, then the water is going to be drained off to the drain cup.
Okay.
So it's never going to let it get higher than where it's connected on the trim there.
Yeah, let's go through that one again, because here we have one. It's not a really big device, but it just kind of hangs off to the side. You can hear the ball valve in it, the float valve inside. And basically it's just going through and one more time, we'll take a look at it because I think it's kind of cool to see how it operates. So there's our columns all gone up. And once again, the float valve here. Yep. Genius. What a cool device. And it's all draining out into the drain cup. And then as it all goes down, it keeps going. The valve reseats, the float yep. comes back down and the whole thing reseats. Excellent. Okay, so let's go back now to our valve configurator. And this time we'll go over and we'll configure out a VXR valve. We'll go to the 4-inch like we always do here. And in the vertical position, we'll get it pre-trimmed. And anything new here?
Well, it's not necessarily new, but you can see the D2 accelerator is your option for the VXR.
Okay.
So the Model F, just remember you have the E1 or the D2. The mm-hmm. Model G series uses the E1. And the Model VXR uses the D2.
Okay, so we don't have that option. We don't have the option up here.
For the E1.
For the E1.
Correct.
For the right. E1.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Okay. So everything else kind of the same. We've already gone over it. Looks really great. Once again, we're using the Viking Valve and System Configurator. This particular digital tool allows you to build out your valves and your systems and such, and then, you know, as you go along, and once you're done with everything, you can have the final summary. This is kind of a cool thing to look at, an overview of the whole system that you just built, as well as all of the technical data pages that go with it for any kind of submittals. You can either save them, download them, zip them, or you can download merged, or you can connect and send it all to SupplyNet for pricing. So it's an interesting component there. That's the tool we've been using to model this out for this whole episode here. Let's see. Anything else that you need to, that you want to share with anybody on Viking, on technical services, on our valves, anything on your mind as far as questions that you get or anything like that?
Yeah, one of the common questions we get, it actually has to do with the accelerators. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the accelerator gets flooded out. And the reason you know that happened is because you're no longer to establish the air pressure in the upper chamber of the accelerator.
Okay.
And I pointed out earlier in our discussion that it can happen from a water column. It also can happen if it's improperly reset on the accelerator itself as well.
Okay.
So if that happens, it's a real simple fix. You don't need to replace your entire accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is take off the cover of the accelerator, and underneath there is what's called the cover diaphragm assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a white cylindrical piece in the middle of it. Well, in between that piece, there's a couple metal retainers that are holding in some bronze screens
mm-hmm.
with microscopic holes through them. Mm-hmm. Well, in between that is a microscopic orifice. We refer to it as a industrial jeweled orifice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your path to get to the upper chamber.
Okay.
So when you take that cover off and you take that out, if you just take some compressed air
mm-hmm.
and 40 PSI or so and blow it through each side of the cover diaphragm assembly,
mm-hmm.
almost every time that's going to dry out the water, and then you can put it back in the accelerator and set it back up.
Neat. All right. Now, one more thing before we go. A couple of things. We're gonna go hit this no more button, I hope, and it. Oh, no. And I can't no more. Hang on. Hang on. I got to get you to that part. I hope I can. And we'll go all the way down through. Nope. Well,
it always seems to work when you test it.
There's always something going on here when you test it. You just thought maybe we had it. What I am going to do though is we're going to do this manually. Then here's what I'll do. I'm going to take us out of this. Taylor, I hope this is all going to work for us here. If I go to the website, and we'll go to our website here. Where can you get more information on all of this? Well, let's go to training, everybody. Customer Learning Portal in particular. If you're not a member of the Customer Learning Portal, it's easy to join. You just click on to Customer Learning Portal, and either you're already registered or you need to register. If I'm already registered, I'm just going to go in here, click in, and this is where you find all of Viking's learning material. So one of the important things, and just kind of to go over what we've covered today, you can go down into the Viking valves and systems and go into the dry systems. And you've got a number of courses on our dry systems, including the previous tech talks and a whole bunch of Sean was talking a lot about repairs in this episode here. He made a ton of product repair videos that go right into exactly what he was talking about earlier. So if you need any help on there as well, you can go right to the Viking Customer Learning Portal to find it. We carry on a whole bunch of different material here on everything that we do. Our assets, our training assets are online. Everything that we create to do live, we also create to do recorded into here. One last thing then that we'll go to before we cancel out of that, before we say goodbye here, is to talk about the next episode. Where, Taylor, where can they go to get to the next episode of Tech Talks? We'll go back to training. I can make that work. And we'll go back into here. Mm-hmm. So once again, we go to training and we're going to go to Tech Talks, and you will see the schedule of upcoming episodes right here. We've got Tech Talks. Next one is going to be on fluorine-free foam. and that'll be in March. And then we'll do some special sprinklers discussion. Then we will go on to hydraulics and new technologies and equivalencies all the way up through June. And by then we will be scheduling out some new ones for you for the second half of the year. So for Sean Kramer, Director of Technical Services, and me, thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your time. And we look forward to seeing you on future episodes of Tech Talks.